Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
There is a looming conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran, framed as a confrontation between the Sunni Muslim and Shiite Muslim worlds.
This gruesome crime was only the enforcement of an order coming from America and Israeli intelligence services, dictated to their collared dogs in Saudi Arabia.
That's an Iranian cleric named Ahmad Panahanian reacting to the execution of a Shiite imam, Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr, by Saudi Arabia last week, part of a mass execution of 47 people declared mostly to be terrorists by the Saudi government. In response, angry Iranians attacked the Saudi embassy in Tehran, provoking Saudi Arabia to sever diplomatic ties. The United Arab Emirates has also downgraded its relations with Iran. So not a great beginning to this year. Could be worse, though, and we'll talk about all of that, how it could be worse, shortly with Ian Bremmer of the Eurasia Group and his latest risk assessment for 2016. But let's go to Iran now, where Thomas Erdbrink, as Tehran bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, is with us. Thomas, how seriously are the Iranians cracking down on the protesters?
Well, according to Iran's judiciary, over 50 protesters have been arrested and several Iranian officials have voiced their displeasure with what happened at the Saudi embassy. If these people will be held for a very long time, I do not know, because in Iran, nothing happens without the blessing of certain state factions. And I suspect, and many others with me, that some of these people that were out on that evening in front of the Saudi embassy were actually directed there by higher political powers, which I assume will also protect them from spending a long time in prison.
What about the official rhetoric towards Saudi Arabia? Is it targeted specifically at Riyadh? Has it changed? Or is it, as we heard from a protester on the street, is it thrown in with the old Saudi line of being lackeys of the U.S. government and Israel?
Look at the roots of the rhetoric. Saudi and Iran are the two biggest powers in the region when it comes to determining the future of Islam. Iran is a country that stands for a political Islam, as we have heard of since the Islamic Revolution 37 years ago, and the Saudis are more representatives of a more traditional Islam. And of course, they have both different denominations, because the Saudis are Sunnis, which are the majority in the Islamic world, and the Iranians are Shiites. Now, the rhetoric is, of course, based along those lines. Here in Iran, people think that the Saudis have ties to the United States, are planning on pushing Iran out of the region. And of course, the thought they have is that Saudi Arabia is strongly anti-Shiite. So they feel when a Shiite cleric is hanged in Saudi Arabia, as happened last week, they feel that actually it is them and their form of religion that is the target of this.
Conservatives in the United States have suggested that the Iranians are seizing on this execution as a way of taking advantage of accusing Saudi Arabia of being anti-Shiite, as you've said. And others have said that the Saudis, in fact, are taking advantage of this opportunity to try to raise its profile over ISIS as the Sunni leader in the region. How do you see it?
Well, I think the fact is that both countries have a certain ideology, and they're trying to sort of win the public heart and minds when it comes down to this role. The fact of the matter is that the Saudis have, on the 2nd of January, executed 47 people, including one of the most important opposition leaders in the country, who turns out, or who also is a Shiite. And they very well knew that there would be a reaction from the Iranians, because the Iranians have been warning the Saudis for over the past year not to execute this man called Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr. Now that it has happened, it almost seems, at least that's what the Iranians say, as if the as if the Saudis were seeking an excuse now to stop all diplomatic relations with Iran, because of course they knew that certain Iranian hotheads would go out and throw firebombs at their embassy, and this action has actually helped the Saudis to cut the ties with the Iranians. It is just an increasingly complicated mess and complicated problem, but it doesn't make it less dangerous for this region.
Would there be any scenario whereby the Iranians and the Saudis confront each other militarily? We've seen the Saudis go into Yemen. There's certainly a new adventurism on the part of the Saudis. Do the Iranians fear that this could go beyond rhetoric?
Well, if you look at the region, you take a step back, you're seeing basically a whole string of proxy wars in Yemen, as you mentioned, but also in Syria, where they both support opposing groups. And of course, as was the fear in the Cold War, there's always a possibility of things getting out of control. Iran and Saudi face each other in the Persian Gulf. There are claims of certain Persian Gulf nations on islands that are currently held by the Iranians. These are all things that could spiral out of control in a future if increasingly bad decisions are being made on the part of both these countries. But we must also not forget, both these nations are looking towards the United States. Iran has just made a deal with the United States, an unprecedented and historic deal. And the Saudis, who were very opposed to this deal, now feel alienated from their former ally. So there is a feeling in the region that there's also lack of American leadership in this, and that this is allowing things to spiral out of control.
Thomas Erdbrink, Tehran bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thomas, thanks so much.
Thank you.